Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bharat Forge Limited Q2 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kalyani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us at our half-yearly analyst call. This is Amit Kalyani, and I have with me our finance, sales, investor relations, and operations teams. I'll take you through some quick highlights, and then I'll open up for Q&A. The highlight for quarter two was our revenue was a little over 1,600 crores or 16 billion rupees, which is both higher, almost double of last year, same quarter, and significantly higher by 17% by the previous quarter. In terms of EBITDA, our EBITDA margin at 28.3% and total EBITDA of 455 crores was significantly higher again by about 18% than the last quarter and much, much higher than the last year. Profit after tax at 311 crores also was about 86% higher than the previous quarter. In terms of our overseas subsidiaries, we had a half-year revenue of 1,663 crores and an EBITDA of 11.3%, which is basically a result of the intense cost optimization and product mix improvement and operational improvement that we have made. If you look at our standalone business, the demand was robust in Q2 across sectors and geographies. Domestic revenues grew by 40%, while exports grew by 4.4%. Other operating income includes 110 million of RoDTEP benefit, which is accrued from January 1, 2021, to June 30, 2021. Despite the continuing input and logistic cost pressures, EBITDA margins came in at a healthy 28.3%, which was similar to the previous quarter. We have seen some improvement in our return ratios due to the improvement in capacity utilization. Our ROC today stands at about 17.8% and RONW at about 14.8%. In terms of cash flow, we have invested 234 crores in payment of CapEx in H1 of 2022 and 270 crores in our subsidiaries, which include Sanghvi Forge acquisition, the North American aluminum plant, and Kalyani Powertrain Limited. Happy to report that Sanghvi acquisition has been PBT positive in the first quarter after our acquisition. In terms of end markets, our domestic markets continue to do well across both PV and commercial vehicles. Export market end demand, consumer demand, is very robust, including the lead time and wait times for delivery of vehicles. Unfortunately, there is an issue with production and delivery due to the chip shortage and other logistic-related issues, which is disturbing or impeding the ability of OEMs to build vehicles at the rate at which they need to. So we expect that as the chip shortage eases out, this pent-up demand to result in higher production. The industrial segment continues to do well across all segments and geographies. One new product developed by Bharat Forge in a very short time was the aluminum forged cylinders for medical-grade oxygen. Here, we have had an order of about 100,000 cylinders, which will be completed between Q2 and Q3. And we are now looking at creating a long-term business opportunity for this. Our Center for Lightweighting and Mobility, e-mobility, is starting to gain traction with order wins from both automotive and industrial customers. We expect this to see increased, I mean, see the results of this from FY23 onwards. On the e-mobility front, we are continuing developing our product and technology strategy and localization, and with some near launch events coming up on the horizon with customers for their new products and launches. In terms of outlook, we expect the standalone business to continue witnessing growth on the domestic front and the export industrial front, while the export automotive business will be under some pressure because this will be the quarter where the chip shortage is going to have the most impact. The overseas subsidiaries, we expect to end the entire year with a double-digit EBITDA margins in spite of the adverse impact of the chip shortage, which will be visible in the second half numbers, which will be slightly lower than first half, but still will be a double-digit EBITDA for the whole year, which in terms of overall, let's say, market-related scenarios is a pretty good performance and will continue to grow and become even stronger as our aluminum business grows and ramps up in US and Europe. Europe, our capacity is already set up and plant is running. It's only a matter of programs ramping up, which will start from December, January of this year. So I think that's really all I wanted to talk about. Most of the other information is in our update. So I thought that we could spend a little more time on Q&A. So I'd be happy to take your questions now and try and answer your questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Firstly, I wanted to check on this EV products that we are working on related to e-mobility and also the EV startup. If you could talk about what are the products where you think Bharat Forge would be building order book or competencies, and how do you see the EV startup investment evolving over the next 1 or 2 years?
So let's talk about first components. In terms of components, we have two categories of components we are focusing on. One is lightweighting components, which are metallurgical products, either forged or cast, which we are supplying to a variety of OEMs across the world, and that business is ramping up quite aggressively. Just in terms of forging, we have enough capacity today to take our aluminum forging business from approximately currently 70 million to about 250 million with the capacities on hand and order book on hand. Secondly, this does not include the casting side. That business will also ramp up over the next 2 to 3 years, and we expect that this will also grow at a double-digit pace. But more interestingly and exciting for us is our entire e-mobility components and systems business, where we are supplying power electronics, control electronics, components, systems and subsystems for EVs, both all the way from 48 volt to 800 volt. So here we have embedded systems based products like DC-DC controllers, AC-DC controllers, inverters, butterfly controllers and all kinds of products. So here we expect revenues to start from next year and ramp up substantially by 23-24 to triple-digit million dollar kind of figures. Then we have other components which we are now exploring getting into. And I think once we have, finalized everything, we will have a EV communication strategy with the shareholders and analysts. But suffice to say that EV is going to be one of the main growth drivers of our company, you know, in the 24 to 26 period and then beyond. And you asked me about startups. So I believe that there is a great opportunity for startups in the commercial vehicle space, that is the last mile delivery space and the personal mobility space. The last mile delivery space opportunity is the largest in North America and Europe. And the personal mobility space opportunity is on the two-wheeler and three-wheeler, which is very big in India. And I believe that electrification of these two sectors in these two markets or three markets will happen very rapidly. And we are fairly well positioned both from a metallurgical products point of view and from an electronics and electrical products point of view to, you know, cater to companies in this sector. And we have a roadmap and a game plan to do that.
Right. Thanks, sir. I also had a follow-up on the same. When we talk about power electronics, for which category of products have we seen traction? I mean, is it two-wheelers, four-wheelers, EVs? Where are we already seeing traction in terms of order book wins? And also, we have also talked about this aluminium forged cylinders. So what are the potential opportunities from these kind of products which you would target?
So our current revenue from the e-mobility power electronics, control electronics is approximately, our company's revenues are about 12 to 15 million euros. And this will grow over time. And we are here supplying largely high voltage to, that is 650 to 800 volt applications, which are high voltage applications for, you know, let's say applications which are in the 250 to 350 kilowatt range, both on highway and off highway. But largely off-highway, which are industrial use. And on the automotive side, we have applications from 48 to 80 volts, which are for two-wheeler and three-wheeler, which we are already supplying. We now have about orders for about 1,000 vehicles to supply these. So this is in a ramp-up phase, but it will definitely grow. On the cylinder side, as I mentioned, we currently have one order which we are in the process of executing, and that will get finished by Q3. But we see an opportunity for a continuing business in this market or in this sector in varied applications globally on a steady state basis. So we're creating a marketing organization to take care of that.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balchandra Shinde from Kotak Life. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Sir, on exports, if you can elaborate on how we see the...
Sorry, Mr. Shinde, I couldn't hear you. It's breaking.
Am I audible?
Sir, we can hear you, but your voice is breaking.
Your voice is breaking.
A
better reception area, please.
Hello,
people.
Go ahead.
About exports, would like to know that, as you mentioned on the media also, that EV might see the overall industrial prospects are also improving. So looking at all the traction, how we see the export growth over next 1-2 years?
Next 1 to 2 years. Are you saying quarters or years? Your voice is breaking. I'm not able to hear you.
Next 1 year. Next 1 to 2 years. Not a quarter. In next 1 to 2 years, how we see?
Next 2 years, we see very strong export prospects and growth.
But
we have long-term contracts in place, so I think we're in good position.
Currently, our oil and gas is showing a strong action, significantly on level.
Yes, oil and gas is strong and getting stronger, and I think winter is coming, and overall, because of decarbonization, the use of gas is going to go up, and you know, shale fracking for gas is a very competitive option, especially for the US. So that is going to be a strong market going forward.
In near term, because of the chip shortage, how do you see the impact in near term? Will it affect our overall export sales, or because it is, I think, only 10% of the total sales, right, PV related sales, and most of the other sales is related to CV. Do we see impact in CVs also because
yes,
of the chip shortage?
Both in CVs and PVs because of the chip shortage. In Q3, there will be a shortage in Q3, impact in Q3.
Okay.
Yeah, basically the demand is getting deferred. If you go to the US and you want to buy a new car, you have to wait 6 to 9 months today. Same thing for a truck.
Okay. So basically that kind of impact for next...
I mean, it's not going to go to, you know, there's going to be a, you know, percentage impact. It's not drastic.
Okay. Okay. So will industrial able to compensate what decline we will see in CV because of the chip shortages, or CV relatively subdued in near term?
I think overall Q3, you know, it remains to be seen because there are a lot of factors driving this. But overall, we will still have a good performance in Q3, but not as good as it would have been if there was no chip shortage. So there will be a dip over Q2 in Q3, but not very large.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So you mentioned this forged aluminum cylinders will still be there in third quarter. So this quarter we've done 69 crores. Will it be around similar levels in next quarter as well?
A little bit higher.
Okay. And in the domestic industrial, how are you seeing the trend and where you see a good growth over next, say, 1 or 2 years?
Yeah, so we've created a strategy to grow our domestic industrial business quite aggressively. There are a number of sectors where we see opportunity, and we believe that we can easily double, if not more than double, grow our domestic industrial business over the next 3 years or so.
And when you're talking about doubling, is it like, say, on the base of this year or... Hello?
Yeah.
So you're talking about which... what would be base of this doubling of revenue? Like this year revenue you're talking about, on that base you can double?
Yeah, more than.
Okay. And but which sectors particularly that you are probably more bullish upon, or you're seeing that...
I don't want to talk about that in too much detail because, you know, a lot of other people get ideas from that. So let's just leave it at that. And, you know, we made an acquisition of a company, as you know, Sanghvi Forging, which has a facility very similar to ours. You know, each of those facilities can do easily somewhere in the region of 50 to 60,000 tons of forgings. And that itself is about $100 million of business. So 100, 110, 120. So that's the kind of opportunity. And that facility is today operating at less than 100 crores in sales. So we have huge growth opportunities.
Okay. And in the export industrial, what was the revenue from the oil and gas segment in this quarter?
About 200.
200 crores. Okay, so the major ramp-up has come from there only in this quarter.
Yeah, I mean, little bit. Last quarter was about 170.
Okay, okay. And lastly, in the passenger vehicle side in domestic market, I think revenue has gone up decently quarter on quarter. So is it like new orders or what is driving this growth?
We have a lot of business from some of the new entrants and from some of the new products launched by some of the international car companies in India, and those products which we have got orders for are very successful, and therefore we are getting substantial traction there.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Mumkesh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. So I want to understand how we see the impact of the U.S. infra bill on the demand for class 8 and construction equipment segments.
Look, the point is the U.S. has decided to spend, you know, $500+ billion on infrastructure. And this is going to go in areas like roads, bridges, water, rail, electricity, and basic infrastructure. So when you have basic infrastructure, this kind of infrastructure spending has a tremendous cascading impact throughout the whole ecosystem. So this will boost truck production, this will boost demand for trucks, demand for construction equipment, demand for, you know, high horsepower engines, for diesel gensets, for compressors, all kinds of equipment. You know, even airports are being now looked at from upgradation, because a lot of US infrastructure which was built in the 40s and 50s was last upgraded in the 70s and 80s. And you know, 40 years is a long time, and you can see the impact of the degradation in the US infrastructure every winter when you have storms and power outages. So I think this is a very good step. It will definitely improve the quality of infrastructure and quality of life in the US, but also provide a massive boost to the US economy and global supply chains.
Thank you. So how was the price increase impact this quarter on the revenue?
Steel impact?
Yes.
About 50 crores.
And what was the logistic cost increase, maybe sequential year on year?
I'm not going to share that.
And the USD INR realizations this quarter?
74.
And just the last question, say any update on the ATEX?
Yeah, you know, our final trials are done. Now some user introduction trials are going on. I think very soon we should hear something.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, first couple of clarification. One is the ROTDP benefit you indicated was 11 crores, 110 million. Is that right?
Yeah, rupees, yes.
And this was for from 1st Jan till now?
January to June.
January to June, okay. And what it would be for the current quarter?
7 crores.
Okay, okay. And secondly, with respect to CAPEX, so how should we look at your CAPEX considering that at console level we have already invested about 506 crore on CAPEX? So what should be the full year expectation both on standalone and console basis?
See, as we have told you, we will be spending about 75 million on our plant in the US. Now, that is funded by equity and some amount of debt. We have no CAPEX in India right now. Our CAPEX in India will be under 100 crores. And the only CAPEX that will remain is whatever CAPEX we need to do for in the US. Today in the US, we are seeing a lot of demand for our US older forging plant also. So we are doing some CAPEX there basically to put robotics and automation and some maintenance to clean up some, you know, cycle time issues, etc., to make it more productive. That will be on the order of maybe, you know, between 7-8 million over the next year and a half. But that's about it.
Okay, but the first half standalone CAPEX itself was close to 250 crores. So you're saying incremental 100 crores over and above that?
That was payments for previously sanctioned and, you know, implemented CAPEX, including some movement of our hammer from Pune to Varamati and so on and so forth.
Right. And over and above that, 100 crores for the remaining period?
Yeah, I think that should be all for the next half.
Right, right, right. And secondly, in the passenger vehicle exports, we have seen a QOQ decline. So was that primarily because of chip shortage impact or there was something else to it?
Basically, the chip shortage. See, right, what has happened with chip shortage is that as the OEMs have fewer chips, they have to decide on which vehicles they put them. And typically, they're putting them on the highest margin vehicles. So they are putting them on, you know, the Cadillac Escalades and the Navigators of the world, which produce, you know, the highest margin per vehicle for the manufacturer. So although the number of vehicles manufactured are going down, the profits of some of the OEMs are remaining fairly robust.
Right, right. Got it. Great, sir. Thanks. I'll come back in queue.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amyn Pirani from JP Morgan Chase. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question was, you know, on the e-mobility components that you talked about. So you said that you also started to supply in the 48 volts to 80 volts, which is for two-wheeler and three-wheeler. This is entirely India, right?
Yes.
Or is there...
This is entirely, currently entirely India.
Okay. 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 And the 48 volts and in that range, these components could also be used for hybrid cars, right? If I'm not wrong. And is that an opportunity that you have?
It's not designed for a hybrid car because we see hybrid as a stepping stone to full electric.
Hmm. Okay.
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 So we are focusing on the full electric solution. Our aluminum forged and cast components are going into hybrid and EV. But eventually it will all switch into EV.
Okay. And you also talked about in the domestic passenger vehicle segment, you won some new orders. So what kind of components are these? Are these engine components or are these some other kind of components
so
that you're doing now?
Combination of engine, transmission and chassis components in lightweighting.
Okay. Okay. Great. Great. That's helpful. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon and thanks for taking my question. Just on the India industrial bit, I mean, you'd won some orders on Kalyani M4, etc. So have those started kicking in?
No, the deliveries for that will start in Q3. And actually, really, realistically, the delivery will happen in Q4.
So that order will be executed over what period?
Between Q4 and Q1 of next year.
So okay. So
of the COVID situation in April and May, we had a delay in about 2 months.
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, like, so even if the cylinder orders get completed in Q3, then we should not see a negative or a decline in Q4 on the industrial side, right?
No, I mean the defense defense business will start kicking in Q4.
Got it. How do you see? I mean, like the inventory situation with your customers now. Are they, given the supply chain disruptions, are they running with a higher inventory, or will that also lead to some sort of a destocking risk?
No, because I don't think there's a significant increase in inventory. I would say maybe the increase in inventory is to the tune of maybe 10 to 15 days. Yeah, in that range. I don't think it's more than that. And really the demand is very, very strong. At least that is what our customers tell us and what we hear from, you know, the companies that publish this information. So once the chip... And you know, today the issue is that logistics chain, where in the old days we could forecast that between 31 and 33 days the material from our plant would reach the US, today that can vary, you know, anywhere between 50 and 70 days. So we have to also provide some amount of cushion for that. But I think overall we are okay. You know, our primary focus is to make sure that we don't create any customer stoppages.
Sure. No, absolutely right. So, but okay. And just on, when do we see the, will we start seeing improvement on the Sanghvi Forge thing from next year onwards?
It's become profitable. Even at a first quarter itself, at a PBT level, we have become black. And we will see, you know, quarter by quarter, we'll see, you know, growth.
Right. So any plan, I mean, do you have longer term to, I mean, like, will that that'll be a subsidiary or that's a, sorry, that's already included?
Yeah, that's already 100% subsidiary now.
Right. No, I'm just asking you because in terms of the standalone numbers, will it get included in the standalone numbers? That's how I'm trying to understand.
It comes in our subsidiaries and solely on subsidiaries. But it's a small number right now.
Right.
You know, the first goal there was to fix the place. You know, fix the technical issues, fix the maintenance issues, you know, quality issues, cash flow issues, people issues. And then, you know, take and execute new business.
Yeah. And sorry, just last question. I mean, again, a clarification on the capex. Could you, on a cash flow basis, tell us what is the capex for this year, both standalone and international?
See, what we have today spent roughly is about 500 crores for the first half between standalone and overseas. Standalone, we will probably spend about 100 more crores this year. And overseas, probably close to 75-80 crores. Maybe 100 crores at a round number. So you're talking about 700 crores.
And where should this number be next year? How do you see that?
See, next year we don't need to make any forging capacity investments over here, for sure. And I would say overall capex should not be in more than about 250 to 300 crores.
Okay. Okay, sir. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just a couple of clarifications. Firstly, you mentioned Euro 12 to 15 million dollar of power electronics revenue. So this is this entirely from our Repo JV or beyond that as well?
It's entirely from Repo right now, plus what we are shipping from India to Repo.
Okay, okay. And secondly,
value-wise is being shipped from here.
Sorry, you said 40%.
30% of that is being shipped from here currently.
Okay, okay. And secondly, with respect to overseas subsidiaries, overseas operations, you indicated double-digit margins for a full year. So while first half was already close to 11%, do you expect that to improve from there on or 11 to 12% is where it should stabilize?
I think 11 will moderate a little bit because of the chip shortage creating overall reduction in demand. But I think for the full year, we will have a double-digit number. And then next year, as our aluminum plant ramps up, we will see a substantial increase.
Got it. Great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishit Jalan from Access Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations. I have two questions. The mobility business.
Mr. Jalan, we can't hear you. You know, you need to be called from another line. It's very, very broken, your voice.
Hello, is it better now, sir?
Yeah, a little better.
Sir, my first question was on the e-mobility business.
Mr. Jalan, we can't hear you at all.
I will request you to come back in the queue once again. Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Pramod Kumar from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity. Amit, just a follow-up on the defense side. In addition to the artillery guns, is there anything else which you're seeing, which is kind of seeing some progress in terms of the various stages of the tendering or the testing? I'm just trying to understand by when, which year, or it can be, which quarter do you expect some meaningful defense revenue cadence to come in?
See, today we have three areas where we have, let's say, made significant progress. One is on the artillery guns. One is on the vehicles. And the third is on these mounted guns that we have made. So we have made a light strike vehicle called the Garuda. And we have a MGS, which is a 155-39 mounted on a 4x4. So these are the three areas. Today, we have orders for the vehicle side, for the lighter vehicle and for the heavy vehicle. On the gun side, we have one gun in testing, which is reached the final stage. And on the mounted gun side, we are now going for testing.
And by when do you expect this to become a meaningful part of your business in terms of?
So what do you define as what? What do you define as meaningful? 5%, 10%, 15%?
5 to 10% to begin with.
So let's say if we are saying 10%, I would say it would take about 2 years or so.
2 years or so. And thanks for that. And the second question on the CV demand recovery, Amit, you've been the veteran of cycles. Your company has seen so many cycles, but how do you see the cycle playing out? Because there is massive increase in fuel prices on one end. There is a surplus tonnage capacity which got created a few years back. And also there's some sort of incremental competition or a more organized railways in form of dedicated freight corridor and all that. So given your experience, have you seen the production schedules which have come from the OEM so far in line with what you expected, or they're kind of lagging expectations?
Right now we are seeing Q3 higher than Q2 and Q4 higher than Q3. But over a more longer term, I expect that you will see a shift on the truck manufacturing side, where you will have off-highway trucks which are for construction and mining growing, and then the ICV sector and the SCV sector growing, because as you rightly said, the heavy commercial vehicle, not only is it the railways which is affecting or taking away market, but it's the highways and the GST which has improved the kilometers per day or ton kilometers per day that is carried, and therefore the efficiency of transportation has increased. But at the same time, because of e-commerce and other things, the demand of last mile delivery has substantially gone up, and that will see a big growth in the ICV for the hub to spoke and then the small commercial vehicle for the last mile delivery.
And if I can squeeze one question on electrification, any updates on talk, Amit, in terms of a product launch? Or because the space is clearly excited, the demand what we're seeing in terms of bookings or interest and order backlog is quite huge, even on two-wheelers. So if you can just help us understand how do you see talk
We have invested in talk because we think that they have a good product and that we can get into their supply chain and learn, the product technology and the supply side. But in terms of the day-to-day operations of Torq, I'm not directly involved. But I'm certain that they are in a, position where in a few months they will make some announcements about, their product launch, etc.
And can you talk more about your existing supplies to any electric vehicle startup or traditional OEM? Is that you want to share at this point of time?
I don't want to name names, but as I mentioned that we are already supplying. Even in India, our revenue to electric vehicles, will be in excess of, I would say, 10 to 15 crores this year, and probably, a healthy, double-digit, almost heading to, significant double-digit number next year, heading to triple-digit year after next.
So it's, if I can push more on that, is it more on motor-related bits on the electronic side? As in,
control and power electronics.
Sounds great, Amit. Thanks a lot and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time and interest and, as usual, if anybody has any other questions, please feel free to reach out to our team. We'd be happy to take your questions. And thank you for your interest and support to our company. And have a pleasant, healthy and safe weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Bharat Forge Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.